following program has been brought to you by Rolling Press, a family-run, eco-friendly printing company. For more information, visit rollingpress.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Eating Disorder. I'm Paul Gerard. Please welcome my co-host, the Reverend Spiro. Adam's out sick today.
He's got a tummy ache.
Poor little guy.
He got the tum-tums.
I hope he's listening right now.
I really do.
I can't make it. I don't feel good.
Oh, my God. My hangover went to my stomach.
Exactly. I never got hangovers when I was drinking because I just kept drinking.
Yeah, no, exactly.
You got to keep a buzz going. That's the way to avoid
hangovers.
Well, that'll
do what I did. I stay unconscious.
Yeah. Jackie Gleason said that the cure for a hangover is one Bloody Mary, but just one. Because if you have two, you're going to be drinking all day. So just the one. Maybe Adam had too many of the summer treats we're going to be discussing today.
That's right. It's summertime.
Yeah, almost, yeah. Almost. Now, as far as the witches are concerned.
Well, yeah, not yet. It's not solstice. But, outside is the Bushwick studio, open studio fair. Uh-huh. And there were some women outside.
It's insane out there.
Yeah, no, and there's a bunch of topless women outside. Because toplessness is art, of course, you know.
And it's legal.
Yeah, and they've got, like... balloons hanging from their tits.
I love
not hanging,
I
but
love
floating.
Art.
Yeah, and they
God,
say,
I love art.
And they say, still won't fuck you, right? And I'm like, sweetie, not on your best day.
Nice. Yeah, it's packed out there, man. And Roberta's is just killing it.
Yeah, good for
killing it right now. It's packed. So today we're going to be looking at some of the summer treats we love, from Italian ices and Dixie cups of lemonade bought from inner city kids. To you know, you don't see the. Stoop sitting anymore. You remember, like, you'd buy,
yeah.
like,
yeah,
you
know, ice.
An ice, and you sit on the stoop.
Yeah,
you know?
What was it? Romano's ice? What was the Italian ice?
Marino's.
Yeah.
Marino's,
and you
yeah.
used to get it with a stick. If you ate it with anything but the stick, it didn't taste the same.
Yeah, exactly. You have to have the little spoon-like...
And my mother would only buy me lemon. You know why?
Why?
Because anything else would ruin me. I would look like I had a bloody, you know, bout. Like, I want the cherry, you're getting the lemon.
I want
the watermelon, you get the lemon.
I accepted it. I just went to New Orleans. I was down there for 6 days, and I accepted it by the second day with the snowballs with my son. He was just going to be covered in different colors of juice. You know, Hanson's Snow Blizz, which has been down there forever,
right.
It's been enjoyed by generations, just got the nod from James Beard. Which, in and of itself, is...
James Beard went for a snow cone?
Yeah, they gave it, like, an honorary mention or
wow.
something, you know, but... I don't know. The Beard Awards, for me, that's a whole other show, because I just... enough said. I'm going to stop right there. So, anyway, we're going to look at some of the, you know, clams on the half shell, fried clam, knishes, cotton candy, and, of course, hot dogs from, you know, places like Nathan's and Ruby's Bar and Grill.
Yeah, and beer.
And beer, Gregory's and Paul.
I want to introduce my guest. You can introduce your guest, since you got your guest. You don't let me get both guests. So this is Andy Cheng.
Hey, how are you?
Andy's been here for in our neighborhood for a while now. Andy is the general manager of Fede Sal, where I just blew $150 on luscious meats. It's my favorite barbecue place in the whole city. And I'm not just saying that because you're on the show. I've said it before. Additionally, you also manage... St. Anselm,
yes.
And Spoit and Duyvel.
Yes.
You know?
Spoit and Duyvel. You have a hard time saying that with your Brooklyn accent.
Spoit and Duyvel. What? No, you have a hard time saying it without your Brooklyn accent. But Andy's unique in the standpoint that he started in the business through beer, which we were talking about outside.
Right.
You know, and he got his relationship with those folks by cleaning lines. And right. We were just talking about...
Wait, that's strange, because I got my start in cooking by blowing lines and beer. It's not the same thing, though, right?
Not at all.
So, Andy, I wanted to talk to you about what we were talking about before. So, one of the things about like, I used to love draft beer, right? But the thing is, I go to five different places, have the same draft beer, and three of them will be subpar, and it'll suck, you know, and two of them will be lovely. And it's not always because the beer's, sometimes the beer's, it's the taste of the beer versus the, like, give us the breakdown. Is it the taste versus the beer versus the temperature versus the, you know, like, what should you look for if, you know, how do you know your beer's skunky?
Sure. There could be a few reasons. If the lines aren't maintained often enough, the line could have buildup that will taint the beer that's inside. Another possibility is the keg might have been too old.
Okay.
The beer inside the keg's been sitting around too long, so the beer has gone through further development past prime. So that's usually that you just have to taste and look and make sure that and judge to see if the beer should be pulled.
So I mean, but certain beers are at different temperatures too, right? I mean, in other words, not every beer is supposed to be ice cold.
No, let's just say that's more of a stylistic enjoyment sort of aspect. Like English style ales, lighter ales, or even like stronger ales too. It's generally enjoyed a bit warmer,
right?
Just stylistic.
And yeah. The one thing I never understood is the cask stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What is the story with that? I have no clue. I've never tried it because it scares me. I feel like there's first and foremost, I'm a germaphobe.
Uh-huh.
So I look at it and it feels like raw milk to me. I'm like, I can't drink that. It's like raw beer. I mean, what is the story with cask beers?
It's just a different conditioning. Basically, you brew a beer that you intend to condition in cask as well as regular kegs.
Mm-hmm.
When you condition it in cask, you would pitch some additional yeast for carbonation. Basically, that your beer is still.
Additional yeast is what you said.
Yeah, for the conditioning to get that carbonation.
Right.
And generally, a cask ale compared to its keg version will be slightly less in alcohol and carbonation.
Oh, less in alcohol and carbonation.
Yeah.
I could do it with the less carbonation, but the less in alcohol would have killed it for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, I'm paying the same? I'm paying more?
The best I did growing up was drinking ponies under the boardwalk at Coney Island. So speaking of the boardwalk, one of the places that we used to go a lot when we were kids was Rockaway Beach, Rockaway Playland. That was quite a trek from Bay Ridge, having to take the Green Line bus. You know, this was back before the days of Rockabus or the ferry.
Mm-hmm.
We would get there the old-fashioned way. It was actually the first place I ever heard New York, New York by Grandmaster Flash from a radio that took up three seats. You know, remember those? It was like,
boom boxes, man. I mean,
57 D batteries to run the things.
Yeah, no, now, you know, it's not the same effect when you're holding your iPod on your shoulder. You know,
it's, like, it's just not as cool.
You know, juggling speakers connected to it somehow. It just doesn't work, you know?
But, you know,
where is Radio Raheem today, huh?
Exactly.
You know?
You know, Rockaway has changed a lot. You know, it's a real testament to the betterment of the city in general. But the food culture that we've embraced has made its way out there. And we have also joining us today is Justin from City Sticks.
What's up, what's up?
Thank you, Justin.
Yeah, great
Very
to be
nice
here.
To see you.
Thanks.
I love the name City Sticks.
City you know, Sticks.
It's not like... you know, it reminds me of like an old street game from New York. You know, like I'm glad you didn't go with like
Smith and
filibusters, old time frozen treateries or something. You know,
yeah, and each package had a little curly mustache on it. You know, yeah.
I think we've seen enough of mustaches around town lately.
I agree.
You know,
so how are things out there in Coney? Not in Coney, in Rockaway.
In Rockaways,
days?
You know, things are rocking and rolling. They're still doing construction. Of course, Sandy devastated a lot of the boardwalk and the surrounding areas. But us New Yorkers, we bounce. You know?
Are you from New York?
We bounce. No, not anymore. Not at all.
But you're a New
I'm
Yorker.
A farm boy. I'm a New Yorker now, right?
Yeah.
10 years. You hit your 10-year mark.
Yeah, you paid your dues.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
I sure enough did, man. I started by just walking up and down the beach, though. Talk about boombox. Got out my little tunes. Strapped a bag to my back, you know, and
skates?
Just went up and down. I love that. I love that. Oh my God. Little short shorts.
You should bring that back.
Shorts, right? Oh, there's plenty of ideas. Don't worry.
Yeah. So, you know, the food scene out there has really taken on a new meaning. You know, when I think about 30 years ago, you know, we had clams and we had knishes and cotton candy and all that kind of stuff.
Funnel cakes.
You know, the chow mein sandwich, which hasn't really made it. I'm surprised the chow mein sandwich from Nathan's didn't make it.
Yeah.
But, you know, like now, I'm curious, like kids 30 years from now, are they, you know, they're going to be reminiscing about quinoa black bean burgers and fig hibiscus and lime popsicles. You know, so what are their memories going to be? What stands out for you guys as some of the best things happening right now for summer food? What are some of the things we should be looking forward to?
Well, I'm glad to hear that popsicle is being produced. That's really awesome.
And he makes a lot of beer popsicles.
Yeah, really? I gotta try that too. A lot of fun. For private events, parties, private clients.
Oh, I have an idea for you.
What is it?
Pop shots. All you gotta do is fill ice trays with boozy, fruity liquid, and then they could just
melt.
Frozen shots. Yeah. You can take pop shots if you. So what do you guys think? What are some of the things that you're looking forward to, either craft beers
and
some
or of the stuff that you've loved in the past? I mean, you know.
Yeah, I think certain things just won't change, like ice. You know, like you're talking about Italian ice. It's never going to go away. You have variations. You know, some call it sorbet, whatnot. I've seen people making wine sorbets. That's really delicious. You know,
That sounds good.
Yeah,
that sounds like a very that sounds like a great combination with a bar with some barbecue.
Actually, in the beginning of Feta Sal, we had a I forgot the name, but they had a cart and they had a red and a white wine sorbet.
Oh wow!
Our deal was that they can sell it right in front of our place and then see how they do. Never picked up. Like, it's a bit ahead of its time, perhaps. Yeah. You know, you need foot traffic, and back then, surprisingly, not much.
Yeah, I mean, is that like a sweet? Is it like more of a side? You know, I mean, is it like a?
It's a serving.
Yeah.
You know, I forgot how they serve it too. Probably like a Italian style cup, and then with a.
Oh, I love those.
Or like an ice cream cup. Yeah. With a spoon,
The Italian, remember those, when you used to get the pizzeria ices?
Yeah.
You get those cups, and because, you know, you didn't have a lot of money when you were a kid, right? You had to get every last...
You'd eat the cup.
Turn the cup inside out, yeah.
I was thinking about that with the sticks, like, maybe you should flavor your sticks, because I used to chew the fuck out of those things.
I should dip the sticks first.
Yeah,
that's
one of the fun parts about
now,
a popsicle.
Now, that's an idea. I don't know about the pop shots.
I still remember the taste of the stick.
I like dipping my stick. Yeah, that's a good idea.
But like the beer pops that you make, like you must need to eat a lot of them to actually catch a buzz, right?
I'm already drunk right now.
Nice.
I've been up on the beach all day, you know. Whoa.
What's the alcohol content?
I always tell people they're probably going to die of diabetes or sugar shock before they go through any sort of real buzz that's happening. But when you're sitting in the sunshine and on the beach, a little bit goes a long way.
Oh yeah, you can smoke a cigarette, you know, and you feel like you're going to faint.
Yeah, that's really true,
especially out in Rockaway.
Yeah,
I can see a stout popsicle.
Yeah, it's really cool. I've done like a Hefeweizen beers. The wheat beers do really well. You know, like
Do you put a little orange in there, maybe?
Like a banana Hefeweizen beer, raspberry Kolsch. I've done like a strawberry Veit. You know, just kind of keep it fun.
Really cool.
Do you guys find like being like you're making the boozy pops and you have the bars? Do you find that the drinking culture isn't so much about just getting fucked up as it is for people to taste different flavors? Because you're not going to eat the boozy pops just to catch a buzz, you know?
Yes.
Do you find that's more like that in general, that people are more interested in tasting flavors than catching a buzz?
People want to say that they can, you know, they want to challenge themselves. I think we're becoming a very savvy food, a lot of foodies, right,
here in
New York, and everyone kind of wants to have their own opinion about it, too. Hmm. Maybe more so than if they can actually taste it or not, you know?
Well, how's it in your place?
Definitely.
I mean, one of the things that I find is, like, you know, there's a great selection of whiskeys that happen. But, again, whiskey and barbecue, you know, there's
so
kind
good.
Of a... but, yeah, no, when you know, look, when I'm on a tear, it's about... Yeah, it might be about... Yeah, okay, I want this $100 whiskey. I want 10 of these $100 whiskeys.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
I want to taste it, but I got to, you know, there's got to be a payoff over there.
Yeah, customers. They have become way more knowledge in all the different styles of beers. And, I mean, you know, you still want to get wasted, for sure. But you sort of switch back and forth. And a lot more customers are asking for something that they haven't seen before, which is really cool. Like, so we like it when that happens, because we can kind of show off, like, oh, yeah, we got this beer. It's really rare and the style that you haven't had before. And that stuff's always fun.
Well, one of the things I find strange about the food culture in New York right now is in, like, comparison to years ago. And, you know, your restaurants are wildly popular and they are pretty meat heavy. You know, and even though there's a major buzz about gluten-free and quinoa and kale, it seems to me that people are eating heavier than ever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that like, sounds right.
Especially, you know, just getting back from New Orleans, I must have eaten 20, 25 restaurants while I was down there. And it was heavy. Everything, you know, it's generally heavy down there, but even like the more cutting-edge restaurants down there. Do you find that the culture, like, it seems that the whole thing is changing from... You know, they talk a lot about quinoa and kale and things
sure.
like that. But all they want is barbecue.
Right. Yeah, that's I think it's kind of cool that, like, you know, you're...
Of course, you own a barbecue yeah. place.
I think it's really cool. You know, the comfort food is the coolest thing right now. You know, fried chicken, bacon, barbecue, meat.
These guys make a pork belly, literally, that like that thick. I'm making a large finger motion with my hand. That is amazing. It's and this is what happens every time I go there. The asshole in front of me orders the last bit. Never fucking
It's one
fails.
Of one of the things with like barbecue places, like you have to get there before it's open. Exactly. But I've always found the New York barbecue is a bit of a misnomer, you know, but I get it. I guess at this point, like the Lower East Side gave way to the East Village and the horse and buggy gave way to the cars. It's now part of culture of New York. What do you feel is some of the best barbecue in New York? I mean, aside from your place, of course. And are people doing anything different to make it New York barbecue and not just Kansas City, Carolina, or Texas barbecue that's made in New York?
Yeah, I thought you might bring that up about styles. Because I don't think we can claim, let's say for the South itself, we can't claim to be Texas or anything. Nor can we really claim to be New York because... You know, for these styles to be Texas or North Carolina, they have gone through a huge, you know, long history
right.
of tradition. And New York barbecue isn't necessarily a New York tradition. Just because we make it and we're in New York doesn't necessarily make a New York-style barbecue. But, you know, just for regional identification sake, yeah, probably can say New York. We have some, like, big names like Maggie May. Mm-hmm. I've never been there. I always eat people's leftover that they brought to the bar. It's always really good. Maggie May, of course, Blue Smoke. There's a Virgil's. Is it called Virgil's in Times Square? I don't remember. But yeah, they're just these big houses that's been around forever.
And you consider that to be New York barbecue?
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, they within those restaurants, they will claim to be Texas.
Right.
Or a different regional style. But since they're in New York, I guess just call them New York barbecue.
I guess so. Yeah. Well, Justin, on the lighter side of things, you use all natural ingredients. Do you find that the parents are more willing to spend a little more money, or your clients just, mostly Billy Burgers who don't really care?
No, totally not, man. Like, working in Rockaway has been so rewarding because I've literally sold an ice pop to every single person you can imagine.
That's awesome.
The kids, the adults, the locals, the Brooklynites, like, across the board, you know? Elderly, it doesn't matter. There's
and they
a
don't
city
scoff
sticks
it.
Flavor.
What are you sell, $5
Well, no,
because
some of it, $3.
Oh, $3.
$3,
oh, that's
you know?
Real.
And I'm
that's
coming
reasonable.
To you, you know, right on the beach, like... It's a convenience item, too. That factor's great. You don't right. have to worry about it. It's frozen. It's exactly what you want for the summertime. You know?
Have some fantastic flavors, too.
I want to interrupt, folks, because we're going to go to break. We will be back. Thank you for tuning in so far.
Today's program was brought to you by Rolling Press. Rolling Press is a family-run digital and offset print house that brings together eco-friendly methods, ethical practices, and personalized service. Using environmentally responsible papers, non-toxic inks, and wind power, Rolling Press represents the harmony of traditional craftsmanship and mindful sustainability. Rolling Press offers advice on reducing paper waste and energy consumption, helping you save money and minimize your carbon footprint. For more information, visit rollingpress.com.
We're back. Hey, you know, I know this is a little... I know I always beat this fucking Yelp thing to death. But I... today I was looking at some of the old things. Like Gregory and Paul's is now Paul's Daughter, and some of the places in Coney Island, you know, they've changed hands and things like that. And I did a quick search on Paul's Daughter, and because Gregory and Paul's always had, you know, it always struck me because that was me and my brother. My brother was Greg, I'm Paul, and you know, we would ride out there and have some great times. But I was looking up Paul's Daughter just to get some information on it, and I saw that there's, you know, people who have been yelping Paul's Daughter, and I need to get over this because they fucking yelp everything. I should know that by now. But somebody gave it a one star and said, "Now during the summer, these hot dogs are pretty good." But like they're writing this review at like the end of September. But today I was served the worst hot dogs ever. The dogs themselves had apparently sat on the grill for hours and were never rotated or anything. It was literally beef jerky on a roll. Like, what the fuck?
No,
like, what the fuck is wrong with people? You're going to review Coney Island food, you know? I mean, like, actually, the safest bet is clams on the half shell, because that, you know, if they're pretty bad right away.
Yeah, I know,
right,
you're going to smell them right away.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's a fucking hot dog. Shut up and fucking eat it.
And don't you see it before you buy it?
I know, really. It's like, did you go, like, I want the really dry, nasty, looks like it's got cancer, you know, hot dog right there that is black.
It's like, you know, when we were younger, like before the food truck craze, like one of my favorite summer treats was always the custard, the soft serve ice cream, you know. But my parents, my father would never let us get anything because, like, you know, food trucks then, they were vilified as, like, you know, rolling roach motels.
Yeah, that's what my dad would say. He's like, you're eating roaches.
Yeah, like freezer fresh. Like, we were allowed to get freezer fresh because my father said he knew the guys and they kept the trucks clean.
Yeah.
We could never have Mr. Frosty. But strangely, Mr. Frosty is still around and freezer fresh isn't, because freezer fresh probably spent their money on cleaning products.
The actual permits that you need, good stuff. Yeah, that it takes to do mobile.
But you know, the treats have definitely been changing. And so how do you feel about everybody and how they're accepting? And
yeah, the reaction's, you know, awesome. You know, people are really using different terminology too. Like the little kids around town, they're calling them ice pops. They're not even using the popsicle term, which I think is amazing, you know, in terms of branding. And
so what's the difference?
Well, popsicle's a brand. It's owned by
Good Humor.
Yes,
yes,
you
yes.
Know, like that's
and it's two sticks,
it's
right?
Oh, God, am I even allowed to say it on air? Do I have to pay them something?
Is it two? It's two sticks, right, on a popsicle?
I don't know.
Was it like a double thing?
I think that's a different style.
No, I mean, like there's bomb pops. I used to call everything that was red, white, and blue a bomb pop, but it's not necessarily a bomb pop.
That was a rocket pop.
My son calls them rocket pops.
Right, right. So now we're getting really specific, which I think is great. And help you, and of course, for my brand at least. But other treats. No, I opened up a whole parlor now, so I'm doing milkshakes and And I just started doing this waffle sundae. Like when I was a kid, and you would go to like a soccer game, you know, win your match. You're like, yeah, we're gonna go out
waffles.
And celebrate. We were allowed to get a waffle sundae, you know, the peanut butter sauce.
Is that in the big waffle cone, cup?
No, Belgium waffle, baby. Belgium.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm serving a Belgian waffle,
you know,
kinda, ice cream on top, loaded
that.
Up.
I never understood the waffle and the chicken thing. You know, I know lots of people love it and whatever. I just can't get with it. Like the chicken waffle. Syrup, I don't get it. Waffles are supposed to have fruit and ice cream on them.
Yeah, well, we grew up with the Belgian waffle thing with like the whipped cream and the strawberries and all that stuff, not fried chicken.
Yeah,
first time I saw it, I thought it was very strange. But, you know, like down south, they do a lot of strange shit like that. Like, you know, like a meatball po' boy, well, like they'll have it dressed. Like you get like a meatball parmesan, and it comes with lettuce, tomato, mayonnaise, and mustard. The first time I saw that, I almost had a heart attack.
That sounds wrong.
And then you ate it, and you did.
And it was actually pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
Nice.
Pretty delicious. So what are some of your places, what's on your radar on the boardwalk? What are some of the great places out there that people have to go check out?
Yeah, it's groovy. You know, Beach 97th Street, where I'm located, it's gone through a bit of a transition. Before Sandy, that's where I started working on the back of house. And then the year after, I partnered with Conchos. They're like a juice bar that's hanging out on 106th Street with my friend Maribel at Caracas Arepa Bar. So
Caracas
she's
Arepa
at Caracas Arepa Bar. You have to
You're
say
like a newscaster with Nicaragua.
Hey, I spent some time in South America. I get to talk how I want.
As did I. I don't remember it very much. I was living like a cross between Keith Richards and Scarface.
Right, I see. Yes,
that sounds about right.
When you went to Panama, you were worried about getting kidnapped.
Well, but it's good. You can grab a little bit of everything. Barbecue, Breezy's Barbecue's there. The arepas that Maribel does and empanadas are great. Everything's at a reasonable price point, too. You know, you have to be accessible, I think, to everybody on the beach there. You don't want to alienate the people that have been there for years. Yeah, it's going through a transition, but let's be respectful about how we're doing that, you know, and who we're catering to, and try at least to cater to everybody.
Yeah, much like Williamsburg. That's my hope, right?
Like, until they're all gone.
Yeah, but Uma's Uzbeki food, Uzbeki's going up there. Uma's awesome. Like, people are really getting creative and really, but also something that's comfortable. You know, when you explain what it is, oh, it's fried dough with potatoes in it. Right. Fantastic.
You can't go wrong with fried dough.
Exactly. You or know, potatoes. But, you know, so it just reads a little bit different, but it's really helping people understand food better, educating, you know.
It's got to be a hell of a lot better than it was. I mean, when I used to go to Rockaway awesome. Playland as a kid, you know, like, it's pretty dangerous, and it was run down, and it was nasty. You know, like it's a lot more fun now.
It's great.
You find the beaches are a lot more crowded than they used to.
Oh yeah, today was nuts. Today was super crazy. Monday Memorial Day, so it was Rockaway sold out of everything. Right. I tried to go have dinner at 10:30 at night, and no one had any food left. Like, it was like that.
Wow,
that's a good thing. I mean, I'm glad they're bouncing back from
it's a
commerce
great
level.
Great thing.
What do you got? Have you guys done the thing out here in this neighborhood? Have you done Smorgasburg?
No one's done it yet. There's a competitor of mine that's in there. Not going to give anybody else free them. Press, okay. am I?
The pop fights. No,
I just we all try to maintain our, you know, separate identities that's and cool. not step on toes. At least I do.
Yeah, my next question was going to be, are you going to be at Smorgasburg?
Probably not.
I guess not.
You know, Americans spend about $1.5 trillion on food annually, and the bulk of that goes to fast food chains. But it's been touted that small, handcrafted products, co-ops, collaboratives, things like that, will be the ones to save the economy. The prices are a little bit higher, even though you said yours is only about $3, which is very, a good price. But people are willing to pay more for a locally crafted product. Do you both see that in your business, that if you give them the good stuff, that they're willing to pay for it?
I believe so, definitely. Yeah.
Because again, like the Yelpers talking about Rockaway, they complained about the Rockaway taco thing, saying that it was too expensive. But do you find that out there, or with your business?
Oh gosh, it's a great question. Like I was speaking to about the being accessible sort of thing. Yeah, you're going to alienate some people, right? Like, not everyone is going to buy that item, but we have to keep pushing the boundaries, right? We can't keep letting super chains and craft and all of these corporations continue to run this country. So it is really important that we continue to do what we do, even when you're met with some negative criticism in terms of the price point. You know, speak about other things then. Don't focus on the price. Speak to it and say, hey, man, you know what? Groovy. And move on, you know? It's like you're speaking with a Yelp review. It's like you can't feed into that. Once you start feeding into that, then you're focusing on it. Focus on positive. You know, there's plenty of other things to do.
I totally agree. I do it for comedy relief at this point. You know, because it's just hysterical to me that some people are like this. But it is true that people are willing to pay. You know, they're not going to buy a Slim Jim, but they will pay $14 a pound for, you know, some beef jerky that's made here in Bushwick. Yeah. You know, and it must be the same for barbecue and for the pops and for tacos and all that stuff. And I think it's fantastic.
One of the things I'd like to see more from the standpoint of the consumers is, because this affects me, is, all right, you get a lot of things that get squashed on menus and or flavor-wise because people are just scared of them. You know, like sweetbreads. You guys used to do a great sweetbread at Nuts Point and Doval at St. Anselm.
St. Anselm 1.0.
And I bet you it never sold, because you know what? The moment you explain it to most white people, they go, ah!
They're catching on, though.
Yeah.
Seeing it more and more on the menus.
Well,
they were on the menus all the time, you know, years ago.
Yeah.
You know, when I was coming up as a cook, like, sweetbreads were pretty commonplace.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask you in regards to, like, from the barbecue standpoint, are you guys doing anything that's a little scary? Anything that anything from the awful side, or
I guess the item that would seem the most scary to people would be the beef tongue pastrami.
See, I love
that.
Which
is delicious. Sounds fantastic.
Judy, my girlfriend,
because it's tongue.
Well, no, I made her eat it, and she's like, "This is really good." What is it? She's like, I go tongue. She goes, ah! She screamed like a girl because she's a girl.
She's a girl. Right.
Right, so. But the beef cheeks freaked out my sister.
I love beef cheeks.
Yeah, I this is stuff that I love. But you just, for some reason, face.
It's all about face.
Seems to freak some people out.
That's
you know?
The tongue. I mean, a cow's tongue. You know, you think yummy. About them like chewing their
cud. Oh yeah, I'm into it.
Yeah, it's pretty nasty,
dude. If I knew it tasted that good to French kiss a cow, I'd be out in a field right now.
Justin, right. Did you ever consider doing any of that crazy stuff? Because it seems like a lot of the things now that really grab people's attention are like the more crazy it gets, you know, they love it. You know, they want, you know, like fried chitlins and chicken and all that kind of stuff, you know, and they want to go more into the innards than possible. They want to stick their heads up the pig's ass.
What are you suggesting?
Talking about like scorpion
what are you
pops.
Suggesting?
Like chitlin pops or like barbecue sauce pops. Like I bet the hipsters would love that.
I'm into trying things that, you know, might work.
No, I mean culinarily speaking.
Yeah, well, I mean... Stop talking about my sticks, Paul. I'm getting embarrassed. But no, you know, I've thrown in some fun elements like fennel and actually one of the pops, one of the flavors that I'm producing now, I'm like working on mass production. So, and one of the flavors is cucumber berry. Like the cucumbers,
that sounds great.
And it is. It's super refreshing. Actually healthy for you. Like the nutrition facts will blow you out of the water. Mm-hmm. And it's like, cool, you know, this should be accessible. This should be something that's
My girlfriend made me go to spas for the first time in my life. I never thought I wanted people touching me or whatever. But my favorite part about the spa treatment is cucumber water.
I thought you were going to say the ending.
No. We didn't know what was coming.
I like that you have alcoholic pops on your website, because I had an alcoholic pops myself.
You did?
No, you have a black and blue martini. I was thinking if he ever had a flavor, it would be Doers Come Black and Blue Barmates. Can you sell those on the beach, the boozy pops?
Just for private events and going through the actual location where I'm at is inside of the beer garden. So it just is, at times is the answer.
But you're not allowed to on, at times at Rockaway.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then for private events, you know, if you want to hire me to do something, yeah, totally. Let's
well, we hire
it.
You up at E's Bar.
Let's do it.
511 Amsterdam Avenue recently. You guys should get together and come up with a fancy...
Yeah, something fun.
Going to ask a question. Is there any way to figure out the ABV of one alcoholic pop?
Yeah,
would it be? Like, it should be lower than like a beer or something, right?
Right. If you're like, I like, it's a 3-ounce ice pop. Uh-huh. And in the construction, if it's champagne or beer, it can get about 1.5 ounces, so half of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it can be the alcohol. In terms of the hard liquor, it's about 3/4 of an ounce.
Okay.
You know?
So, yeah.
Which still is...
That's significant, though.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah.
It still do something. You know, sure. That's the point. Like, with the factory production and moving there, I, like, you know, put that on the table. But you have to make it so low, you know? It's
right.
Like, well...
Just so it'll freeze.
Right, and so everything will work, and, you know, and everybody's happy, but... you know, I don't think that's the point. I think the point is to, like, keep it fun and keep it kind of boozy and, you know, push the envelope.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Stick it in people's mouths as fast as you can.
So
and looking at it as a stirrer.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Put it in your drink, you know.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah. So in wrapping it up, what do you guys, what are your recommendations for the summer? What are some of your must-haves that we need to go for?
Yep.
You know, I was just thinking, like, summer food.
Or beer.
You know, you guys like Vietnamese food.
You sure do.
And you were asking, like, what would the kids in the future think about? I think they are becoming more and more aware of these more ethnic food. I think that's going to become something, like, you're going to start seeing one of the most perfect food is, like, the Vietnamese summer rolls.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine you have a stand that's just selling tons of those, and you can just grab one for, you know, cheap. They're just selling those.
I had my first Bao Minh last year. Like, the first time I had a Vietnamese cereal last year, I'd never had one before.
Really?
They're fantastic.
The Bao
Minh? Yeah, with the like, potted meat spread stuff.
And you live in New York, don't you, Spiro?
I've never been in a situation where I've been like, yeah, I'll try it whenever.
Haven't you wondered why there's so many hipsters walking around with, like, tattoos of spam cans on them? That's one of the main ingredients.
Well, no, it's also, they can do Taylor ham, they can do
Taylor,
you know,
a nice Taylor ham.
Yeah, you know,
let me get a quarter pound of Taylor
ham. The potted
ham.
Stuff, you know, like, it's like a
the potted ham. Yeah, potted meat.
I love that.
So you're gonna go with the summer rolls. That is a great choice. It's
a nice
supper.
Yeah, for sure.
Justin?
I don't know. What am I eating these days? I'm not eating. Look at me. I'm, like, wilting away.
You stay awfully svelte for a man who deals in sugar.
I suppose.
Well, natural sugars. Natural
all natural.
Sugars.
All good. Yeah. All groovy. Mm-hmm. No, I'm kind of turned on by the kebabs. I think you got to go out and grill. Mm. I just love grilling. Anything grilled.
Yeah.
Grill a whole fish, grill the kebabs, put anything on a stick. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's how city sticks all get. Stick. Subconsciously, I want everything on a stick.
There you go.
It's a good kebabsicles.
And on that note, folks, thank you very much for joining us for another episode of Eating Disorder.
Woo-hoo!
Thanks, guys. We'll see you soon.
For listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.